Orphan of Angel Street by Annie Murray. Read by Frances Barber. The woman who called herself Lily was making terrible high sounds of pain. "You all right in there?" Ethel Bartlett stood outside the attic door. She'd passed the woman 2 days ago outside the Barton Arms and heard her inquiring about lodgings. As soon as she'd moved in, the pregnancy had been impossible to hide. "I can't have you going on like this in my house. I'm coming in." As she pushed open the door, a groan came from the bed. The face lifted from the pillow had a white, waxy skin and long gold hair.
"Please go," Lily implored. "Leave me."
But she was seized by the terrible, compressing pain. These first days of a new century had brought no relief to the living conditions in the tightly packed workers' houses of Birmingham. Into one such house, on an icy night in January 1900, another child was born. "It's a little lady," Ethel cried. Lily let out a long moan of relief and sorrow. "You're all right now, Bab." Ethel washed the baby and was about to wrap her in an old rag when Lily protested in a weak voice,
"No, in there."
She pointed to her bag. Ethel drew out a tiny flannel, vest, napkin, nightshirt and shawl. "She'll want all this on tonight. Proper brass monkey weather." She handed the baby into Lily's trembling arms. "She's as fine a babby as I've ever seen." An hour later, disregarding her body's need for rest, Lily had washed herself as well as she could, her hands still shaking as she tried to dress herself. She could hear Ethel's snores from down below. She arranged the warmly swaddled child on one arm, and taking the case, she crept down the stairs and let herself out into the frozen night. As morning dawned in Kent Road, Aston, the bolts were being drawn open behind the heavy doors of Joseph Hanley's home for poor girls, and a middle-aged woman stepped out. She leant her broom against the wall and then caught sight of the little bundle in the narrow porch.
"Oh, my Lord!"
She lifted the baby and was satisfied to hear her breathing. The baby woke and began to cry. The woman, Mrs. Jacobs, carried the baby down the steps to the street. Seeing no one, she turned back, shaking her head. She didn't see, a little further along, a young woman squatting to watch her over a low wall. One of her hands was pressed tight over her mouth as this stranger holding her child climbed the steps.
"Looks a fine enough child," the matron said, unwrapping the baby on a table. "No deformities that I can see."
She started to close the garments back over the child.
"What's this?"
From where they'd been tucked between the layers of linen, Miss O'Donnell's fingers drew out a wad of money and a white handkerchief.
£5?
She took the handkerchief. On one corner, embroidered in mauve silk, she read, "Mercy."
"Farewell."
Miss O'Donnell tossed it back on the table, slipping the notes into her pocket. "At least the child has a name. Let her be called Mercy Hanley." June 1907.
"Mercy, come on, hurry up."
The morning bell clanged down in the hall. Amy tugged the worn flannel dress over the younger girl's head.
"Come on."
The sounds of the other girl's feet were already receding down the stairs. Amy seized Mercy's hand, and the two of them tore along the corridor, then down the stone stairs and into the dining room. Miss O'Donnell stood outside, glowering. The dining room smelled of stale washcloths, disinfectant and porridge. The girls joined one of the tables at the far end. They'd been the closest of friends since they were tiny infants. Amy arrived at the Hanley home age 2, the year before Mercy. "We thank thee, Lord, for these thy gifts," Miss Rowney, the superintendent, intoned over the meagre breakfast. The live-in staff ate at a table near the door, Miss Rowney, Miss O'Donnell, Miss Eagle and Mrs. Jacobs. Others, like Dorothy Finch, the kindest of the staff, only worked there in the daytime. When they'd finished eating, Miss Rowney stood up.
"Girls, I'm going to read out the names of 8 girls